Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
God means for his kingdom to be something that is real. You know, the things that you read about in the Bible that God did through his people. There's a lot of people out there that they excuse the lack of power by saying, oh, that was only for them. Now we got the Bible. That's all we need. And so they sit there and study the Bible and go right back to being like the scribes and the Pharisees. I need both. I need a Lord who is with us and able to speak to us, able to say, don't go this way, go that way. But I also need a God who is going to take the power that is in the Word of God, the written Word of God, and absolutely release it into my life now. Is that not the missing ingredient? It's wonderful to be able to quote things, but these words are not just magic formulas. The devil's not afraid of words. He's afraid of the Spirit that is released through the words. When we are in harmony with him and desiring his will and just yielding to, and actually believing it. Like I say, what a concept. Praise God. Is this a need? Do you see what's so easy to get? You see how you can get from the church in Acts to the Laodicean church? And think everything's okay because we're still using the same book, still believe the same things up here. But where is the power that I need to be free? Where is the power to be able to do the things that are necessary? Do we cast out devils? Are there not occasions when it's appropriate for someone sick to be healed? God doesn't do that anymore. I mean, you can go in ditches with all those kinds of things, and people do. But that stuff is real. Those things are real. God has not changed. We are the ones who have listened to other voices, and suppose that a powerless church that just says the right things is good enough. Well, it's not. And if God's going to use us in this hour, I believe with all my heart there's going to be some things that have to change in our lives, in our faith. Now, here's a thought. And we already know what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He took Old Testament prophecy and applied it to the church age, really, all the way right down to judgment. It's for everybody. But we think about the Old Testament prophecies as just, okay, well, that was about Jesus. But do you think maybe, just maybe, the Lord had you in mind? Think about that. Do you think there are times when, if you really described something that's happening in our lives, the Lord could say, such and such happened to Brother Carl, I'll pick on him, and it fulfilled the words that were given to David or to the prophets or to Paul as a fulfillment of Scripture, such and such happened in Carl's life. When God spoke and preserved his word, do you think just maybe he had you in mind? Or just in general, some general truth? Did God choose and know us before the foundation of the world? Did he know your name and who you are and all there was about you? Well, he certainly planned for his son, because he knew he was going to be operating in the midst of a world, of a kingdom of darkness that ruled with real power. And so he set something. He set everything in motion so that all Jesus had to do was cooperate and believe and do what was right and be willing to not just confess the word, but to lay down his life. That was one thing I didn't say a while ago, that it's one thing to use the word of our testimony, but that word has to be have such a level of conviction in our hearts that we're willing to die before we give it up. Anybody here got that kind of confidence in what God says? You think maybe the Lord wants to plant that a lot deeper in us and give us that kind of a conviction? But I was talking about how the Lord planned everything. That's an amazing thing. The devil must be so frustrated. He's the one who's scared of this. If these thoughts cause fear and uncertainty to rise up, where do you think that's coming from? Is there a reason to be uncertain, or is the devil scared to death? You know, every once in a while I have this humorous picture. A few of you probably are familiar with the Narnia Chronicles, written by C.S. Lewis, and they take you into a different world full of all kinds of strange creatures and interesting stories, but there's a spiritual overtone to all of it. But one of the pictures that comes to me, and it's partly connected to the movie about it, was when there were a bunch of folks from this particular civilization that were on a boat, on a quest, on a ship, and they landed on a certain island, and they lay down on a handful of them lay down on the beach, and they woke up, and one of their main characters was missing, and they saw these giant footprints. And so they go and search, what's going on? And all of a sudden, there's this invisible enemy. And they're looking up, and there's voices coming from up here and spears. And, oh, if you could see us, you would be terrified. And just voices trying to intimidate them and scare them. Well, of course, in the course of the story, they become visible. And when they become visible, all of that terror and uncertainty changes into laughter. Because what you really had was creatures about this big. Each of them had just one leg and a giant foot, and they hopped around. And they were big because one was standing on the shoulder of another one. And when they were invisible, you could be way up here and shouting down and making somebody terrified. When you really saw what they were, you realized it wasn't anything to be afraid of. You know, you talk about the fact that we've got spirits to deal with. Satan has emissaries that are attacking us. God doesn't want his children to be afraid. They're the ones who are terrified that we will actually believe what God says and stand on it and access the power that absolutely destroys their influence. But most of the time, we're the ones sitting there in his prison in one way or another. And we're the ones who need deliverance. And God's wanting to use us to deliver other people. God help us. You know, we've tasted some of these things in the past, and that's wonderful. But what about now? Has God gone away? Is this just theory that we read about in the Word, or we hear about it under Brother Kumar's ministry or others? Does God want to release his power in us? And I believe certainly, and I think you do too, that he does. There's so many scriptures about the Word and about Scripture in its place. I thought about some passages in 2 Peter right at the beginning. We've used this, but I want to focus on this part of it. And Peter is writing to those who through the righteousness of our God, thank God it's not my righteousness, here's the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Where'd you get faith? Doesn't come from in here, does it? He gives it. Thank God. What an amazing, simple thing. I don't have to try to have faith. I can open my heart and say, Lord, thank you. Does he promise to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yeah, do we really actually want him to come and change our lives? And yeah, all of these are factors that the enemy uses to try to dissuade us and distract us and somehow cause us to miss the simplicity that God has in mind. The people that God poured out his Spirit upon in the New Testament weren't smart people. They weren't the intelligentsia of the day. They were ordinary people. But they had an extraordinary God who came to live in them and empowered them. Anyway, it goes on to say, his divine power. So everything flows not from me, not from any strength that I have, because I don't got it. His divine power. Well, how much is that? Look at the universe. Do you think that there's so much? I mean, we see the power, but do you suppose that power is not, I mean, that what he has for us now is less than that? Think about what Paul said when he wanted the believers in the Ephesian church to realize that the power that he is expressing toward us is the same power that brought Christ out of the grave and set him on a throne. And not only that, he took us and set us on that throne with him. But do we actually believe that on a day-to-day basis? That's the sobering question. God wants to bring us to a place of real faith that is practical, that is an everyday thing. So anyway, Peter goes on, his divine power, what's that done? Has given us, all right? Thank God it's given, not earned. But what is it that it's been given? Everything we need for a godly life. Everything we need for a godly life. Everything you need. Everything I need. There isn't a single thing to which he has called us when it has to do with the kind of person we are or the work that he's called us to do that he has not promised to give us what we need for that to happen. I don't have the power for that. But do we really believe that we have the power? That's the question. All right? So everything we need for a godly life through what? Through our knowledge of him. Our knowledge of him. Now, where does that come from? Yes, it comes from a personal relationship. Where did Jesus' knowledge come from? Obviously, he talked to his Father, but that wasn't what he answered the devil with. It is written, it is written, it is written. Always went back to this because he recognized my God inspired this. He locked up power that I need to stand against this devil right now. In fact, he had me in mind. He knew about this temptation. By the way, who sent Jesus out to be tempted? The Spirit.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.